Sing very well, because I do get that a song that I cannot get out of my mind. Right now it's Super Mario Movie Pizzas, but sometimes it's also switch mics. One. Is this one better? Okay. But sometimes God puts a song in my heart that's not just fun, but it's worship. And I have to sing it out. And I can't explain why that is, except to say that God's trying to do something in me. And I just need that song. I need to say those words. I need to feel that melody, right? This series, I'll let you be seated. We're going to do some review, and then we got a short verse today. But so this series for the month of July is called Kingdom Living. So this is part of our God's Word for Life series, and this is lesson 4. There's typically 4 lessons in a series, and the 3 lessons leading up to this, I'm going to go through them quick for you here. The first lesson was the life God blesses. It was based on Matthew 5:6. You're going to see a trend. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're learning that God desires to pour out his blessings on those who recognize their need for him. Lesson 2, the mission of a disciple, came from Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We learn that God's desire is for his church to embody his glory. Last week, the disciplines of a disciple was Matthew 6. You getting this? Matthew 5, Matthew 6. There's a common theme here. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 4, 6, and 18, where we learn to give. We talk about when you pray and when you fast. These are the disciplines we should be practicing. God expects us to have the right motives when we do these. And so this idea of kingdom living is being taken from Matthew 5 and 6. And this week doesn't change that. This week, our lesson is called The Kingdom First. We're reading from Matthew 6, verse 33. And they can put this on the screen. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." That's our key verse. So we're going to reference that back a lot, okay? But now we have a whole bunch of verses here I want to go through, and it starts at 25. So that's the last one. We're going to start at 25. We're going to read back up to this, okay? It says, therefore, it's a key word. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky." Now, an interruption here. This is Jesus speaking, okay? He said, consider, this is all Jesus here. He said, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his or her life span by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" Verse 31, "So don't worry saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And here's our key verse. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All these things will be provided for you. And so last verse, 34, says, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself." Let's pray that God has his way in this service. We're reading from the Bible. This is our adult Bible study class. We're learning the same lessons that my wife is teaching to the two-year-olds, okay, the three-year-olds, all the little kids. But God has a message for each one of us in his word. We just have to read it and hear it and learn from it. Let's pray. God, have your way in this message. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into every heart, into every mind, God, as we learn from your word to hear what you have for us, God. God, we remove distractions. God, we bind distractions from being in this place, God. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit would have free reign to come into our minds and our hearts and speak into us today. In Jesus' name. There's a word that I read a bunch there. It starts with a W and ends with an URI.
Should we try another one? All right. Brother Thompson, there might be a mic when you get up here. But if I just keep going through them at this rate, you might just be standing out there, just a heads up. Worry! It's a word we kept hearing in these verses. And Merriam-Webster's dictionary said that worry is defined as mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Then it says, semicolon, anxiety. So let's unpack what we heard there. It says it's a mental distress or agitation, something that's like, I feel this, I'm thinking this, right? Resulting from concern, so something I'm concerned about something that is impending, that's going to happen or anticipated to happen, right? Anxiety. A couple key words I see in there is this idea of impending or anticipated. This idea, this is going to happen. This is, the world is going to end. You know, my cat's going to die. Like, I'm going to get measles. Like, whatever it might be, right? There's this worry of something that could potentially happen. And I want to make sure I say this. I am not going to minimize this idea. Worry is real. Anxiety is real. I don't want to minimize it in any means. In fact, in some cases, it's not just, hey, I'm worried my cat's going to die. It can be very intense and very real for you, especially in those moments. And yet in Matthew, he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you will wear. And at the end, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what might happen. Don't worry about what you assume will be the end result of your situation. And so my definition of worry or anxiety is a little bit different. I think it's worrying about something that hasn't happened yet, usually because of something that has happened to me or someone else. Let me give you an example. I have a cat. She is the spawn of Satan. And her name is Chaco. And we thought she was an inside cat, but she started going outside. And we tried to stop it. We couldn't stop it. We were afraid she was going to die. So that whole fear was not whatever. But little did we know, she is not the thing to be feared. I'm not worried about her dying anymore in the night. She has brought back so many dead animals, it's hilarious. The other day, she brought back a baby rabbit without a head. I have no idea where the head went, right? So I shouldn't have anything to fear, right? But my family was in town. They don't know, hey, when the door's open, she will fly out that door, and she's small and wiry, and she gets out the door, right? She sneaks out the door on my brother-in-law, Aaron. He's like, I'm like, dude, she's like an expert at this, right? She's really good at getting out of the house. And so she gets outside, and all of a sudden she starts sauntering down the driveway like this, like she's on some prowl. And she gets to the street. You know, she's like my kid. She doesn't look. She just starts walking. And all of a sudden, I'm standing at the top of the driveway. There's a car with a teenager in it driving right at it. And this car, the teenager's on their phone. And the cats are, and I can see this, and I'm going, no, no, and I'm yelling at Chaco, and I realize she doesn't listen to me. Maybe the teenager will. And so I start screaming, stop, 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 stop. And my heart is racing, and I'm freaking out because my cat is going to die. And yes, you know what happens? The cat kind of does one of these and goes, and gets across the road. But in that moment, I was so worried. I was so worried that my cat was going to die. And you might think, Peter, that's irrational. Right? It's not a big deal. What are the odds? My cat's never gotten hit by a car crossing the road. Well, let me rewind about 30 years of my life, 25 years of my life, and tell you a story about my dog named Minnie. We had a dog named Minnie. She was a miniature cockapoo. Man, I get emotional just talking about this now. She was about this big. We lived on almost an acre of property out in Cottage Grove on a road that nobody drove on. And one day I'm standing out in the front yard, and I saw a car run over Minnie. Not hit Minnie. Not glaze Minnie. Like literally thump, thump. Over a dog this big that didn't weigh 5 pounds. I heard sounds that day I never want to hear again. And I've been to war. That it was so painful. And guess who was the one that heard it and ran all the way to the end of the driveway hearing these sounds and had to pick her up and carry her in. I'm 17 years old. This is a traumatic experience. We took her to the vet. She survived. We took her to the vet. In fact, she because of whatever happened to her hip, she had to sit on the couch for like 4 months. She couldn't move. She's pooping in a diaper and stuff like this, right? But in the winter, she would walk on her two front feet. She was like a circus dog, right? But can you imagine now why, for me, watching my cat cross the road was such more of a traumatic experience? Why it might have even created some sort of worry or anxiety in that moment that crept up and made me maybe slightly overreact to a teenager in a car. Just slightly. Where I'm screaming, stop, 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 stop. Anybody else watching that might have been like, well, that was an overreaction. But it was real for me. It had brought back the memories of that experience I had with my dog, Minnie. and it scared the daylights out of me. I wish I had known when I was younger that life was hard. Right? All the kids are not here, so we can talk about this. They get to find that out for themselves. Because when you're a teenager, you think, well, someday life will be easier. Right? When I get my own car, life will be easier. Right? When I get my own home, when I get that girlfriend or a wife, then my life, someday when we have kids and we can just be that little perfect family, my life will be easier. Yeah, see all the adults laughing? I'm only 41 and I'm starting to figure this out. Life does not get easier. Life is full of obstacles and challenges in our life. And a lot of times, in the midst of that obstacle, in the midst of that car driving, almost killing my cat, in the midst of that obstacle or challenge in your life, we have worries. And so today, we're going to break it up into two worries. We have inner worries and outer worries. The worries and concerns in our minds come from our experiences, often beyond our choice or control, just like I talked about with my dog. As an example, we can't choose the family we're born into. We cannot choose the economic state of our family, whether they had money or not. We can't choose where we were raised, whether it was in the South or the North or Canada or Mexico. We don't know. We can't choose these things. And we also can't choose the emotional conditions that surrounded us in our childhood. Many people come from broken homes, and they have suffered mental, physical, emotional, and even sexual abuse. And it's sad. It's really sad what many children suffer in their childhood. The hurt, the trauma, the anger in their homes, the abuse. And these children grow up with fear and worry. Some of them worry about having enough to eat. Some of them worry about whether they'll ever be good enough, the ability to achieve or excel. They worry about if they'll ever be accepted. If they're worthy of someone's love, no one could ever love me. Imagine being a small child growing up in a home where mom and dad never showed you love. I know there's some of you here that have experienced that. And so as you grow up, it's easy for you to believe that no one could ever love you because you haven't experienced someone loving you. You're seeing how this is going here, right? This is where a lot of this inner worry comes from. These experiences work to create in our mind what we think is normal about the world. What we think is normal about ourselves. What we think is normal about others. And what we think is normal about God. I think that if my pet is crossing the road, it's always going to get hit by a car. It's sort of irrational, but you can see why my brain goes there so quickly now that you know the backstory. And in these traumatic moments of our lives, in these moments when we're or maybe not just a traumatic moment, maybe just a origin story of how things happen in our lives, this repetitive way of being treated or not being treated, the devil will speak to us. Dr. Ted Roberts says that addiction is a learned behavior that is demonically charged. A learned behavior. That means I learn to do these things. I learn to cope in a certain way. I learn that whenever something happens, I eat, right? Learned behavior, but it's demonically charged because in that moment where that person whose dog gets hit by a car, the devil's leaning into your voice saying, you are a giant failure. You can't even keep a 5-pound dog alive. And I'm keeping it simple with the dog analogy, but you can understand how this might impact a person as a young person or even you as an adult today. Something difficult happens. Some failure happens in your life. Something that you totally messed up. And it's easy to hear that voice in your head that says you'll never be good enough. And then moving forward, every time you face a challenge similar to that, you start to hear that voice. And by that point, the devil doesn't even need to say it to you anymore because you're now acting on that voice. These mindsets, these learned behaviors start to shape how we make our decisions in the future, which further deepens the problem and repeats the cycle. Let me give you an example. Children who never receive affirmation may struggle with insecurity and find it difficult to believe in themselves as adults. This child who never received affirmation, they might think to themselves, no one else believes in me, so why should I believe in myself? They lack self-confidence. Their self-worth is low. And their insecurity, which births anxiety and worry, is high. So then, when normal life situations, challenges, and obstacles, because we said it's part of life, right? It's not because you're difficult or you're weird or you've got obstacles and challenges are part of life. So when something normal like an obstacle or a challenge comes up, they lack the self-confidence and self-worth, and it causes them to give up and not work through it and maybe not even start to face it. There's a child's book I really like. It's called What Do You Do With a Problem? How many people ever heard that book? Oh, it's a great book, isn't it? It's a great book. What do you do with a problem? You know what you do? You face it, right? But some of us, we because of this example, this person that might not have had the affirmation doesn't believe in himself, and when a challenge comes, they're like, I can't even start this. I don't even know what to do, right? And so what do? They fail, and then in their mind says, see, you never could do it. These are the inner worries. We cannot change our childhood experiences. We cannot undo any hurts that are done to us. We cannot remove bad situations or experiences in our lives. And we cannot change the past. But the fears and the worries that stem from these experiences can be overcome. The wrong mindsets based on lies and hurts can be overcome. We can find deliverance from worry and anxiety in the kingdom of God. Not deliverance from what happened to you. Not deliverance from experiences. Not deliverance from trauma. Minnie will always, she's been dead for many years, but she will always have had that limp. I can't change that. But my worry about pets crossing the road, that can be overcome. And that's just the inner life. What about the outer life? Matthew noted what you eat, drink, wear tomorrow. For us, it could be financial. We worry about our finances. We worry about our jobs. We worry about raising our children and not messing them up. That's fairly relevant given what we just talked about. We worry about what's ministry and how am I serving God and fitting into God's kingdom. We worry about relationships and commitments. Some of these are, I break it into three categories in my mind. Some of these are emergency, like something's happening right now and you need help and you're worrying about it. Some of them are everyday, so it's just like an everyday thing, like I need to eat every day. That's stuff we worry about, like my bills. That's a real thing, right? And some of these are extra. I worry about if I should buy that boat. I know, you all wish you had that worry, right? I'm not buying a boat. Emergency, everyday, and extra. And although these external pressures are common to all people, there's no one-size-fits-all template for managing and eliminating the stresses or the concerns that they bring. Instead, we faithfully ride the waves of life circumstances and never lose the hope that Christ, that living in Christ affords to us. And so what we're learning in this verse is that kingdom life is the answer to dealing with the worries and stresses and anxieties that happen in our world, that happen in our minds, that really truly happen in our lives. Notice I never said anxieties and worries are not real or that they're bad. I'm saying they're a natural result of things that happen, but they don't have to be there if we are living in God's kingdom. And so we ask ourselves, well, what can we do? I mean, we all like to do that. What can I do, Pastor Roy? I gotta do something. Like, what do I do? Well, first thing is we gotta take responsibility and control of our lives through the exertion of positive actions that counter the stress and worry. So this is gonna be a little scientific now, okay? We'll get to the spiritual stuff in a minute. You'll see here how this works. We could try and do things that help to manage the pressures and stresses and worries of life. We can eat healthier. That's right. I'm always getting migraines and ulcers. Maybe I should eat a little bit healthier, right? That'll balance my weight and my hormones. I can make choices to get off my phone and get some more sleep for my body. God's designed me to get sleep. I can reduce my commitments and choose what we focus on. How many people? Lesson three, right? We're doing family focus series at church one Wednesday night a month. That was month three. We can choose what we focus on. We can refuse to overcrowd our schedules and remove useless and non-productive activities. We can practice relaxation techniques, not to Gandhi or any of these weird people, but just work on being silent and still and meditating on God's word so that we can be ready to hear from God. We can exercise and stretch. I said, I'm getting older, right? I'm finding I have to stretch more often than I used to. Otherwise, I have pains. But when I stretch, guess what? I don't have the pains. These are all things we can do, and they have natural benefits, and they will help. They can help in managing the stresses of life. And I would say some of these, if not all these, are highly recommended. These are our bodies. We should take care of them. God would say that in his word, right? But these are all physical. Some of these are mental. But we also need to nurture our spiritual health. And this comes from connecting to God's kingdom. This is the cure for worry. You can podcast and Reddit your way to however many articles and books. You can read 75 books a year. That doesn't remove the worry. You'll get some really good information. I highly recommend reading. I wish I could read 75 books a year, right? Get some great information. But the cure to worry is found in God's kingdom. And so we read again in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. So what's the kingdom of God? It's the realm in which relationship with God exists, and God's will and purpose are supreme in heaven and on earth. Can I say it this way, if I'm not being too cheesy because of our family series? It's God's way of doing things. Our family series is called The Way is Life, doing things God's way. Essentially, he has a way to do things for us that will make things better for us, and that's called living in his kingdom. Think about it this way. If you were in a country, North Korea, right? If you want to survive in North Korea, you will do things his way. No, I'm not comparing God to a dictator. I sort of did, but that's not what I mean. But you get the idea, right? If you are going to live in a kingdom of a king, you will follow the rules of that king. And we would hope that God, being all-powerful and all-knowing, that his rules will actually produce something good, not some craziness, right? And so it's, for me, the kingdom of God is this kingdom that I'm saying I'm going to be a part of, but to be a part of this, I'm going to do things his way. Proverbs 14:12, I love this verse and I've been using it a lot recently. It says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. That's when we do things our way. That's not the kingdom way. In fact, we remember from Matthew 6:10, the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dallas Willard was a theologist, I'm saying it wrong. He's a great guy, wrote a bunch of books. Theologian, thank you. He wrote a book called Hearing God, Developing a Conversational Relationship with God. And in that book he wrote, ultimately, we are to move beyond the question of hearing God and into a life greater than our own, that of the kingdom of God. Our concern for discerning God's voice must be overwhelmed by and lost in our relation, in our worship and adoration of him, and in our delight with his creation and his provision for our whole life. We so badly want to hear from God. He's like, just focus on worshiping God. Just focus on serving God. You'll hear from God. He's like, it's more than just, well, I want to hear from God. No, I want to be in the kingdom of God. For Dallas Willard, entering into the kingdom of God involved an intimate relationship with God that is way more important than everything else in this world. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. We learn here that it's not physical, but spiritual. It's not concerned with eating or drinking, but it's concerned with righteousness, peace, and joy. And this isn't reckless. I'm not telling you to take off your clothes and stop eating. We're not all becoming panhandlers fighting for cardboard to write our little notes on. Right? Instead, it's choosing to focus on God and His word and His opinion first in our lives. And that's why in Matthew 6, 25, it starts out and says, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry." Then he says all things not to worry about. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry." But hold on. "Therefore" implies to me that there was something before this we should pay attention to. So let's go back to 19. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, where you spend your money, where you spend your time, where you spend your resources, where you spend the things you think about, that's where your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness?" And here's the verse right before the one where he says, "Therefore, don't worry. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so it is by trying to serve two masters, it is by trying to live in two kingdoms that worry comes from. It's by trying to live in two kingdoms where worry comes from. Trying to live in the kingdom that says, "This is what I experienced, so it must be true," versus trying to live in the kingdom that says, "This is what God's word says, and I haven't experienced this, but I'm going to live based on this." Well, I'm going to do both. I'm going to trust God, but I'm going to freak out every time my cat crosses the road. And I'm standing here like this in no kingdom. And so guess what? I'm worried. I'm worried my cat's going to die, but I'm worried that I'm not following God, but I'm not a good enough Christian, but my life and just... I'm trying to serve two kingdoms. God is telling us that regardless of our experiences or our past, regardless of our hurts or trauma, regardless of how difficult it seems, how real it was to you and is to you and happened to you, regardless of all that, that if we seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, what He says is right, then we will have everything we need. Everything will be provided to us. All these things will be added to us. And so we got to start claiming what all these things mean in our lives. Now I'm using the King James part of it, even though my verse is in the Christian Standard Bible, right? But it says, "And all these things will be added to you." I want to challenge you. Start going home and start praying what all these things are to you. God, if I'm going to put your kingdom first, if I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to do what your word says, and give to the needy, and give to the church, if I'm going to do that, all these things means you got to keep my bills paid. God, you got to help me out. If I'm going to say, God, I need to work to support my family, and God says, "You know what? You don't need to work 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. I can do more with your 8 to 5. Oh, but God, everybody else is coming in at 5 a.m. Everybody else is staying late and skipping church. Whew. You know what, God? One of these things you need to add is that you need to make me just as efficient with 8 hours as I might have been if I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses with 11, because it's important I'm at church. It's important I'm with my family." Our time, we could put the things in our life, what we spend our time on, we can seek the kingdom of God first with our time, not last. It's like, "Well, I just didn't have time this morning. I slept in." That's because I was up on my phone for 2 hours scrolling before I went to bed. Had I went to bed on time, I may have woken up at the right time and then I could have prayed. But it just doesn't make sense, Pastor Roy. Just, you know, this prayer time in the morning is sort of a waste. Well, it's not working out for me now. I might as well try it. Not praying is not working out for me now. I might as well try it. I'm going to start putting God's things in my life, in my schedule first. I'm going to put it in my budget first. Oh, and let's get crazy here. I'm going to put it in my mind first. Because I think it's easier for us to be like, okay, I'll step out and I'll pay my tithes, see what happens. I'm gonna try to not work on Wednesday nights because I know church is important. I think that's easier for us. It's harder for us when our cat's crossing the road and about to get hit by a car. Instead of me screaming at some teenager, it's a lot easier to say, Jesus! Or just say, you know what, God's got this. Whatever happens with this situation, he's going to take care of it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. I had this big thing of notes about talking about how we need to read God's word. We need to memorize it. We need to pray it. We need to quote it in those tough moments. When I'm feeling like I'm not good enough, I need to say, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created before I made all my mistakes. I need to do all that. But you know what? Can I make it simpler for you today? I was talking with my wife and we were talking through this. That's all good. You need to do that. But at a minimum, can we just have a mindset of faith? Whatever's going on in my mind, whatever's going on in my life, God, you said you care for me. You care for me. I'm not a bird and I'm not a blade of grass and you're clothing and feeding them. So I'm going to choose to act like it's going to work out. And that's where we get the term walking by faith. Oh, but what happens if my cat, you know, I'm just going to walk. But what about my, yep, I'm just going to walk. I'm going to take one more step today. But I feel like something bad's going to happen. I'm just going to take one more step today. But I feel like I'm totally messing up my children. I'm going to keep praying over my children every night. I'm going to keep trying to bring them to church. I'm going to keep talking to them about God. And I'm going to trust that God is going to do something. I'm not going to worry about it. And so if you can do anything about this, yes, go to the Bible, go to verses, pray, talk to a spiritual mentor, get somebody to tell you, no, that's not the way to think about it. You are thinking, you're afraid of your dog, Minnie. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety is not rational in today's world, but it is real to you because of what you experienced. Instead, we just say, you know what, God, what's going on doesn't make sense, and I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to take this care, and I'm going to throw it at you. And God, just so you know, FYI, I may keep throwing it at you for the rest of the day every time I think about it. And so it might just be as simple as saying, God, you have this care. God, I gave you that care. Why is it coming back to my mind? God, I gave it to you. It's yours. Take the care. Take this worry, God. Take this anxiety, God. I'm going to give it to you. God, I gave it to you this morning. Why? You know what? It's not you. It's me. Here it is again. I'm just going to keep giving you my anxieties and my worries. Let's all stand this morning. I think one of the challenges in all this is it's hard to trust God. It's hard to trust this book that was written thousands of years ago. It's hard with everything we know and feel that's real to believe that this thought of just casting it on God could work. And so we don't do it. What is in your mind and what is in your heart and what is it there, it's real to you. And God's saying, just give it to me. But God, my budget, I'm struggling with my budget. Give it to me. When I was in college here, I think I've shared this before, but I was literally in debt up to my eyeballs. I had creditors calling me twice a day. I had a credit score of like 320. Life was not good. And then one day there was just a miracle and I was given $1 million and everything worked out great. No. I had to start watching what I was spending money on. I married an amazing woman who's great with money, right? And little by little, I said, I'm going to make the right choice with my finances. Just little by little. Missionary came. I'm going to give $5. That's all I got, but I'm going to give it. God put it on me. Oh, somebody needed a little bit of money. I'm going to help them. And then 20 something years goes by. We just got a report of an 804 credit rating. Yeah. I mean, you just heard me say how big of a failure I was, so we can give God praise for that, not me, right? Exactly. But it's because of this walking in faith and saying, I'm going to choose not to act based on what I'm seeing in my life, but I'm going to choose based to act on this kingdom over here. I don't want to serve two kingdoms. I want to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything that I'm doing and everything I need will be added or provided to me. And so let's pray this morning. Let's pray together. Let's pray that God helps us to not believe the mindsets in our minds, in our brains. Help us to recognize them, right? Help us to stop living based on them and to start seeking his kingdom first. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. God, your word is quick and powerful. God, it's able to do so much in our lives. God, your word is truth. God, it's able to speak into us. It's like a mirror, God, that we can see into it and see the things in our lives we have to change and work on. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would show us the mindsets. God, reveal to people the mindsets that they are believing, that they are acting on, God. Help them to see, Lord, the kingdoms that they are serving first, even if it's not intentional, God. And God, help us to serve your kingdom first. Help us to see you, God, in your kingdom and follow the way you have things in your word. God, help us to walk by faith one step at a time, because we know and we claim that you care for us and all these things will be added to us. In Jesus' name, amen.